So an alibi by nature really means that like there's something or someone, typically someone, who can vouch for your existence at a location or a place at a certain time that others may say, well, where were you? Well, here's my alibi. I was here. We can prove it this way. An alibi is not just saying, I like to go out for drives. It's what I like.
No.
Which was actually the initial alibi of Brian Koberger. And then John Judge said, that's not an alibi. Like, you like to go for drives? That's lovely, but that's not an alibi. So they had until Wednesday, the 17th of, what is it, January, February, March, April, May? We're in April. We're in April.
We're in April, yep.
And Ann Taylor said, okay, we have an alibi. We're going to give you the alibi because they needed to file that if they're going to go with an alibi defense. And keep in mind, you don't have to have an alibi defense. You can easily say, we're just going to argue the facts. We're going to argue what you're coming at us with. We're not going to do an alibi defense, especially if you have a very good alibi. But said, okay, we have an alibi. And that alibi essentially led up to them saying, he likes to go and look at the stars and look at the moon.
Oh, how wonderful.
Sometimes likes to go out at night and jog. At times, he likes to drive around by himself, alone, late at night. It's like, that's kind of creepy itself.
I'm sitting here like, a couple weeks ago, I was out at midnight out in the country looking for the Northern Lights. So, and I was by myself. Does that mean I'm a murderer?
You're not a 22-year-old college student that seems to have extremely antisocial personality that has zero people sticking up for him other than people online who know nothing about him. There has not been any friends or family or anybody who's yet to stand up and say, I don't think he has anything to do with this. His family's been silent. Everybody's been silent the whole time. And it's kind of telling when you have zero supporters of you and your personality when the rest of the world is crucifying you. So,
yeah,
here's the defense. I'm going to actually read the document here that was filed by Ann Taylor. And this is supposed to be an alibi. So let's go through that. And comes now.
Buckle up.
Brian C. Koberger, by and through his attorney of record, Ann C. Taylor, public defender, and hereby files a supplemental response to the demand for alibi in compliance with Idaho Code 19-519 and Idaho Criminal Rule 12-1. Mr. Koberger moved to Pullman, Washington in June of 2022. And as an avid runner and hiker, he explored many areas of Poros. Of note, he explored Wawai Park. There's a lot of W's here. It's Wawai Park in July of 2022. And this became a favorite location. After the school year began, Mr. Koberger was busy with classes and work at Washington State University, and his running and hiking decreased, but did not stop. Instead, his nighttime drives increased. This is supported by data from Mr. Koberger's phone, showing him in the countryside late at night and or in the early morning on several occasions. However, the cell phone ping data kind of puts him near the fucking King Roadhouse. But we're not going to put that in this document. The phone data includes numerous photographs taken on several different late evenings and early mornings, included in November, depicting the night sky. I'd love to see what else that fucking cell phone produces in terms of text messages or whatever weird shit we're going to find on there, other than just the night sky. Mr. Koberger was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13th, 2022, as he often did, to hike or run or see the moon and stars. He drove throughout the area of South Pullman, Washington, west of Moscow, Idaho, including Wawa 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 Park. And now, because we can't have full corroboration, we have partial corroboration from an expert witness, which means basically somebody said, I'll take your money. Sure, yeah, I'll talk about something. Mr. Koberger, and I'm not, I should clarify that, because we have several expert witnesses on our show. Not everyone does that, but in the world of expert witnesses, there are really good ethical ones and there are some shitty ones. I know nothing about this one, so I'm not saying this one is a shitty one, but I'm saying if you're testifying in behalf of Brian Koberger, you may want to kind of realign some things in your life. Just my opinion. Mr. Koberger intends to offer testimony of Cy Ray, CSLI expert, cell tower, cell phone, and other radio frequency, circa Virtuate is attached. I never heard of this before. To show that Brian Koberger's mobile device was south of Pullman, Washington, and west of Moscow, Idaho, on November 13th, 2022. That Brian Koberger's mobile device did not travel east on the Moscow-Pullman Highway in the early morning hours of November 13th, and thus could not be the vehicle captured on video along the Moscow-Pullman Highway near Floyd's cannabis shop. Here's the deal. His cell phone was off during the hours of the murder. So is that a common thing where he turns it off at those hours of the morning? I think that'd be a good point to bring up. And number two, the triangulation data that does exist for when his phone was on right before the massacre and right after the massacre does put him over there. So if he went out for a jog during this,
when was the last time you turned your cell phone off?
I don't even know. It's been, honestly, probably.
I can tell you when I turned mine off.
Unless it died, it's been years.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I turned mine off, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I dropped it. It did something stupid. It froze. I needed to reboot it. Otherwise,
yeah,
nope.
And how convenient that it just
goes.
And
not in the middle of the night, I can tell you that.
In the middle of the night, during the specific hours where the murder took place. Yeah.
I also have another theory, if you don't mind my sharing.
Okay, yeah.
So my thought is, let's just hypothetically say he is thinking of murdering these people. Mm-hmm. He knows. He's very educated in criminal things.
Yeah.
This is what he's been studying, knowledge. So he knows that cell phones are tracked.
Well, you'd hope so.
So what if he... Well, you'd hope he knows that. Let's say he has a friend. I don't know that he has any friends. We don't know this.
We're really unaware of any who exist yet.
Okay, but what if he left his phone somewhere knowing he was going to allegedly commit these murders and then went back and retrieved the phone and turned it back on?
What would be the difference of just turning it off and taking it with you?
Placement, knowing that it would ping a certain tower once he came and got it, saying, no, I was there the whole time.
But the cell phone can say if it was turned on or off. And so we know it was turned
off. It can, absolutely.
So we know it was purposely turned off during those hours. And then it suddenly turns back on driving out of Moscow. It's on driving into Moscow. And suddenly we're like, it's the stars. It's the night sky. I don't know. Yeah. Last paragraph of this, additional information as to Mr. Koberger's whereabouts as the early morning hours progressed, including additional analysis by Mr. Ray, will be provided once the state provides discovery required and now subject to an upcoming motion to compel. If not disclosed, Mr. Ray's testimony will also reveal that critical exculpatory evidence further corroborating Mr. Koberger's alibi was either not preserved or has been withheld. I don't really think so. So, because we have cell phone triangulation data that already shows you over there. Bravo, Ann Taylor, though, for trying to create some reasonable doubt. She's doing a good job at that, especially with maybe people who aren't the brightest, who don't quite understand how all these things work, and they'll just buy it saying, oh, well, this guy says it must be true. And that's really all you have to, you know, do sometimes in a trial is, you know, speak to the lowest common denominator that happens to have, you know, 8 weeks of life to give up to sit in a courtroom. So
all you need, Tony, all you need is that one person who really doesn't understand how cell phones work because they have a jitterbug phone.
Yep.
Yeah. You've just given them reasonable doubt.
Exactly. So that is his alibi. It's gone from being, I like to go driving at night. And the court said, we don't buy that. We need better explanation. I like to go driving at night and look at the stars and the moon. And sometimes I like to jog over here at Wawa Wawa Park. Okay. And how are you going to prove that? Well, this guy, Cy Ray, who's a CSLI expert, and he has an Instagram account, he's going to prove it. What, we already have like actual experts that have triangulated your data over here and kind of show a pattern of going around this house on a regular basis. So that doesn't really add up. It doesn't really make sense. I like the stars. It's pretty fucking pathetic. I don't even know. I don't even know why they're submitting an alibi at this point. I would say go without one because I don't see how this is going to work in anyone's favor unless they go to the angle of, you know what? He is a weird guy. He is kind of a loner. He has no friends. He just likes to go out at night and drive around. And yeah, it's kind of strange, but it doesn't make him a killer. He's just kind of one of those weird guys. But everyone's been persecuting him just because he's a weird guy. I could see that trying to be the longer term play on this than just what we're reading right now. Cause Ann Taylor has a strategy, I'm sure, but this just is fucking ignorant as shit right now, just as it reads. But I think there's a bigger play at hand here. So.
Yeah. And I think it's because she might be seeing that her client is guilty. And she needs to come up with at least something to make the jury go, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I started to wonder that the other week of like, does she just want to get off this trial? But I mean, there's a lot of money to be made here without a doubt. She's getting paid very handsomely by the state to represent him. But at the same point, you know, is it just such a losing battle that maybe at some point you're like, I'm out. Like, I can't just say I quit, but maybe I got to do something. And I don't know. I mean, I wonder how much he is steering the ship and how much she is steering the ship. Because at the end of the day, you have to do what your client wants. So he had to agree that this is a valid alibi. And he's as educated as he was on, you know, criminal law and such. He really had zero social skills or understanding of what people would buy as bullshit or not. And that's just judging by the way he treated people from what we know factually. In interpersonal relationships. So I don't think he's necessarily going to bat an eyebrow of his giant eyebrows that people are going to look at this and go, well, that's bullshit. I think he thinks what he says is fact and people will believe it's fact because he's a fucking narcissist. So I don't know. It's very interesting to see that this is the alibi. It literally simply adds the moon and the stars, literally, to the old alibi.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.